This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to BFM 89.9. Now, on Twitter this morning, BFM is asking all listeners, what's the biggest problem affecting PKR unity? Is it A, weak leadership, B, weak principles, C, too much infighting, and D, not sure, vote at BFM Radio. Now last week, Phil, the government passed an emergency ordinance aimed at addressing fake news on COVID-19 and the emergency declaration.
Yep, so under this law, those found guilty of spreading fake news by any means with intent to cause or which is likely to cause fear or alarm to the public, could be fined up to, guess the number, ₹100,000 or jailed up to 3 years, or both if found guilty.
So both a de facto law minister, Datuk Taqiyuddin Hassan, and the Minister of Communications, Datuk Saifuddin Ismail, have come out to say that the law's got limited scope as it only applies to two specific areas, namely the pandemic and the emergency proclamation.
Yeah, so Saifuddin has also reassured that the law is not intended to curb media freedom or prevent valid criticism of the government. However, these assurances have not assuaged the concerns of lawyers, media right groups, and human rights activists, several who protested outside of Parliament yesterday in a small group in line with SOPs.
So to unpack this new ordinance, we've got on the line with us Zaid Malik, the coordinator at the NGO Lawyers for Liberty. Lawyers for Liberty is, of course, among many groups that have issued statements expressing concern over the ordinance. Zaid, good morning. Now, so from first glance, the ordinance carries the same broad definition of fake news as the 2018 Act, but this time it's limited to misinformation concerning the pandemic COVID-19 or the emergency declaration. Do these limits have a material effect on how the law could be applied?
Well, in theory, of course, this means that the ordinance has a limit to it where the parameters is clearly defined that it only applies to misinformation concerning COVID-19 or emergency declaration. So, of course, it is narrower in scope than the Anti-Fake News 2018 Act. But I say this in theory because the COVID-19 and the emergency declaration are topics that are often discussed and heatedly debated on social media and other platforms. So therefore, even though the scope might be narrower, the application itself might be forceful.
So let's talk about scope, right? What kind of information sharing fall foul of the emergency ordinance?
Well, we believe that the definition given in the ordinance itself only says that the news shared regarding COVID-19 or misinformation must be false or partial, or any information or any statement has, even if it's partially false, whatever that means, false under the jurisdiction of this ordinance. So that is literally up to the interpretation of the officer or the enforcement authority or even the government. So I cannot really help the listeners as to what exactly definition or the or what instances this ordinance will have effect, because the definition of COVID-19 is very broadly defined under the ordinance. And in fact, the term emergency declaration has no definition at all under the ordinance. So it could be applied as and when the authorities think it should.
So, Zaid, from a Lawyers for Liberty perspective, is this new ordinance good or bad, and why?
Well, of course, I think we have released a statement last week, and we unequivocally say that this ordinance is bad because the scope of the definition of fake news for COVID-19 and emergency declaration is overly broad, because I believe it will stifle any legitimate concerns with regard as to the government handling of COVID-19 or the situation or the legitimacy of the emergency declaration, all of which are academic discussions, even if it's not purely academic, are concerns or discussions that people should have and could have on social media or any platform that they desire.
So the
application is obviously stifling freedom of speech. Yeah.
Right. So if the Minister of Communications Multimedia comes up and does a briefing, right, what would you want him to clarify?
Well, there is not really much to clarify. We believe that this ordinance should not be in existence because they seem to be forgetting the Article 150 of Clause 2B of the Federal Constitution that says that an ordinance must be passed only if there exist circumstances that necessitate its existence. And we believe there is no circumstances that that necessitates the existence of this ordinance, because there are so many other acts and provisions that criminalizes offending speech, like the Criminal Code itself, the Communications and Multimedia Act, and even if you want to look at it, the Sedition Act itself. So really, why is there a need to have this ordinance? I don't think, even if they clarify, it would make sense.
So let's just say we put yourselves in the shoe, right? And the biggest concern in this country now is, of course, vaccine supply. But we will move very shortly to vaccine hesitancy, right? And I presume one of the intentions of this was to kind of address all this misinformation later about vaccines and all that. If you were the minister, what specific actions would you then work to combat that if you think that this law does not fit the bill?
Well, the government has, I would say, access to all sorts of media, right? They have RTM. They have they also have a modicum of control to other other news sites, other form of media. So I don't. If I were the minister, or if I were in their place, I would like just spread the correct information on all the all platforms available to me, print media, online media, radio, television, what have you.
Sure, sure, and I get this, that. But yeah, that's sure. Carrot, right? But don't you think some people need a stick? And I'm just being a devil's advocate here.
Yeah, yeah, sure. I mean, but the thing is, of course, if, let's say, misinformation comes to a point where it is harmful to the society at large, there are actions that could be taken under any other, what do you call it, provisions of any other acts. Like the Penal Code, for example, like I would think that anything that causes disunity or harm or public disorder, there is a specific provision under the Penal Code. And if that person persists, if despite repeated warnings of to not spread fake rumors or fear regarding the vaccination process or the COVID-19, then the government could just take action under the existing acts. And this would be indefinitely better, definitely better than the provisions of the ordinance, because the provisions of these acts would apply the normal rules and procedures of a proceeding under the Criminal Procedure Code.
Okay, Syed, so the fact that this emergency ordinance has been issued in the middle of an emergency, does this mean that beyond the emergency, for example, beyond August, this ordinance no longer carries application?
Well, the such a nature of an ordinance, right? Once the parliament convenes and they can look at this act and they can choose to revoke it. So if let's say parliament and the Dewan Rakyat decides to revoke this ordinance, then it would then the application of it would then end. If let's say that doesn't happen, the Federal Constitution does say that the ordinance would automatically lapse in its application 6 months after the proclamation of emergency ends. So the livelihood of this ordinance is very much dependent on the proclamation of emergency, and if the proclamation of emergency ends, it has an expiry date.
Okay, Zaid, thanks so much for your time. That was Zaid Malik, the coordinator at the Lawyers for Liberty, the NGO, Lawyers for Liberty. Now, obviously, this ordinance is very concerning. And when you triangulate this development with, for example, the party hopping among lawmakers, among the fact that FDI to Malaysia is dropping considerably, the fact that policy making has come to a standstill because Parliament has not convened, and all these matters come to a head because you get the feeling that Malaysia and Malaysia's attention among the top echelons is not really focused on the country's developments or the recovery, but it's focused on things which consolidate power and which basically is focused on basically politics. And that's the concern here.
Yeah, so this is really a question about how far and how deep they will go. And in my mind, right, and I know this is wrong necessarily to equate, but if you think about Myanmar, where they kind of jailed Aung San Suu Kyi over the first allegation that she was collecting walkie-talkies to have a collective assembly when you were not allowed to during the COVID-19 lockdown, you know, how you interpret, how you exercise these rules and laws will come to question. And I think that was Zaid's frustration, where firstly, he doesn't believe in it in the first place, but there's lack of clarity and details on how it transpires. in the next level.
Yeah, there, I mean, there's so many existing legislation which already deals with quelling of you know, political dissent. Then to go one step further, and it's very convenient to issue an ordinance in the middle of an emergency when you don't have lawmakers, you know, sit to debate the legitimacy of this ordinance, then it becomes very concerning. And I'm not surprised why the Lawyers for Liberty or any other right-thinking individual might not want to question this.
Right. And actually, just to share with you, the Bar Council has been mandated to initiate suits related to the emergency. So according to a resolution passed over the weekend at its 75th AGM, the Malaysian Bar has mandated that the Bar Council can take any and all steps deemed necessary regarding the proclamation of emergency and the emergency ordinances.
So what does that mean?
Well, it says that when he was asked about this, right, the stand, basically when it comes, it said, when it comes into force last Friday, to curb the dissemination of fake news on COVID-19. But what does it mean actually?
I think it's basically people like us and people at the other bodies standing up and, you know, wanting to be counted against
the judiciary, perhaps.
Forces. Okay, 7:59, we'll come back with the news. And after that, Phil, you talk to the Malaysian Genomics Research, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.